Galatians chapter number 5, getting closer to the end of our study of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Amen. Meekness. The definition of meekness is softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations. Let's look at Numbers chapter 12. Verse number 1. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was not just meek, he was what? He was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now here we have a family matter. This is a family matter. Miriam and Aaron don't like who their brother married. And they don't like it to such a degree that they think it disqualifies him from leading the children of Israel. They think it disqualifies him from the position that God put him in. And let me emphasize, God is the one that put him in that leadership position. And God would remove him if God didn't like who Moses married. But God was okay with it. Right? So we see some family matters here. What we don't see in this passage of Scripture is we don't see Moses defending himself against his brother or his sister. We don't see him getting angry with them. We don't see him shouting out against them or striking out against them. And I think that's one reason why it says here in verse number two, and the Lord heard it. Because Moses wasn't really doing anything about what they were saying. Moses wasn't trying to defend himself, apparently. Moses wasn't attacking them for attacking him. But God decided to take the matter into his own hands. And let me just say, God always hears it. God always hears it, and God will take care of it. You know, God will take care of it. You know, Moses wasn't a tyrant. I think maybe people look at Moses as a tyrant. Maybe they watched the movie Moses and see him throwing down the Ten Commandments. And, you know, why was Moses angry at the people when they did that? Was he angry for himself or was he angry for God? He was angry for God. And I think if you look at most of the times Moses got angry, he was angry for someone else. When he smote the Egyptian that was unrighteously beating the Hebrew, he did that for the Hebrew's sake. When he went to try to break up the two Hebrew guys that are trying to kill each other, he was doing that for the Hebrew's sake. When he threw down the Ten Commandments in his anger, he did that for God's sake. And we don't see Moses really here getting angry with Miriam and with Aaron, although he may have been. He might have been. He didn't lose his temper very often. When he did, it appears that he lost it for God's sake or for someone else's sake, not for his own. Let's look at his response at someone else. We'll come back here to Numbers 12 in a minute, but let's just turn back a couple chapters to Numbers chapter number 16. And his response to some other people threatening his leadership, accusing him falsely. Man, don't you hate that? Don't you hate when people accuse you falsely? It's bad enough when they accuse you and they got something to stand on, but when they accuse you falsely, what can you do? Numbers chapter 16, verse number 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the sons of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These are all the sons, these are all the elder sons of the eldest sons. You got Judah and Reuben and Gad and all those eldest sons. These are their eldest sons. They're princes, okay, in those tribes. They're the princes. They're the leaders. 250 of them. You talk about a church split. I mean, he's got all of the hierarchy, if you would, against the pastor of the church in the wilderness. And they're coming to him. Verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? They come to Moses and basically kind of say, who do you think you are with all this power and authority? Everybody else here is right with the Lord too, and holy before the Lord too. Just who do you think you are? You take too much upon you, Moses. You're being selfish. Notice Moses' response, verse 4. And Moses, when he heard it, yelled and screamed in rage and beat them over the head with his staff. No, that's probably what he wanted to do in deep down. But verse 4, it says, and Moses, when he heard it, he fell upon his face. Whether he was standing before them or sitting before them, he got up and he got down and fell on his face. And what kind of a position is that? A humble one. And he says, verse 5, he spake unto Korah and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto them, unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against who? The Lord. He said, you're not really fighting me on this. You're fighting God on this because he's the one that put me here. So if you're upset with me being here, you're not really upset at me. I'm nothing but a tool. He's the author. So if you're upset with who's here, you're upset with the Lord. You're fighting against him, against the Lord, verse 11. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, this is the next day, which said, we will not come up. Whoa, that's a bad attitude. That's some selfish pride and arrogance going on right there. We will not come up. And look, verse 13, they say to him, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, talking about Egypt, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Well, they had it all backwards, didn't they? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Well, for one thing, they're not in the promised land yet. right? And when they do get the edge of the promised land, they won't go in anyway. Stubborn. So it's not Moses' fault that they're not in the promised land. It's their fault. And, you know, they're throwing this in his teeth. And verse 15, then Moses gets angry. It's not until verse number 15. But it says, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Let me say, if you seek to lead a people and you want the power and position of being over a people, what benefits come with that? Money. Right? That's one of the benefits. After you're president of the United States, you can write a book and most everyone will buy it. Right? When you're the president of the United States, people will invest in your company because they want influence with you. There's a lot of money that comes with the power over. And Moses is saying, I've not been made rich by these men. I haven't taken anything from them. And I'm not here in this position of leadership to take anything from the people. I'm here to give. Amen? So Moses' response, he got angry, but he got angry. I think one of the reasons he got angry is because they wouldn't come up. And when they wouldn't come up, who wouldn't they come up to? Where were they supposed to bring their censer? The Lord. So who were they? Where were they not coming up to? They weren't coming up to the tabernacle. Who weren't they not coming up to? They weren't coming up to the Lord. And I think that's when Moses gets angry, because they say, we won't come up. And when they're saying that, they're also saying, we're not going to come up and stand before God. Then Moses gets angry. He gets angry. Look back at Numbers chapter 12, verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. This is Miriam and his brother Aaron. Aaron's a high priest at this time. They're against Moses. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. You know, the Lord might have spoken right in the middle of the conversation when Aaron and Miriam are coming to confront Moses. It may have been the very conversation they're there, and they're having this conversation with him, and they're kind of yelling at him, and they're upset with him, and want him to step down from position. And perhaps right in the middle of the conversation, God speaks up and says, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, I want to see you. My office, outside the camp, right now. Yeah, I'll wake you up. Okay. Okay, so come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. So the three are standing there, right? And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Jesus Christ is there standing in the door. And he is not happy. You don't want to be on the receiving end of judgment, right? He's standing in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is so faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I would not want to be Aaron and Miriam at that time. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. That's where he left it. He departed, and the cloud goes off. Verse 10, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now hold on. We have Miriam and Aaron that came against Moses. But only Miriam gets punished. Anybody know why, you Bible theologians? Aaron was the high priest of God. He couldn't get leprosy. It would defile the office of the priesthood. So Miriam takes the brunt for both him and her. which really makes Aaron feel bad. Here she's a leper. She's going to die now. She is basically going to die right now. And Aaron said unto Moses, verse 11, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." Verse 13, Moses' response. No, Aaron, she got what she deserved. Could he have said that? He could have. But his response, verse 13, "And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." This is his sister too. "And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again." You know, if a daughter was unsubmissive to her father, and, you know, a father in this Hebrew custom and in the Hebrews camp there, if she was unsubmissive and talked back to her daddy, he'd spit in her face, and she would be in a position of shame. And God's saying, look, if her daddy had but spit in her face, shouldn't she be in a position of shame for 7 days? He's like, she basically was unsubmissive to me, so let her be ashamed for 7 days. Now, with Miriam being without the camp for 7 days, who all knows it? Everybody. Verse 15, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. What was the Lord teaching Miriam? Meekness. The Lord was teaching Miriam meekness. To be humble. To not execute the judgment if you're not the judge. To be careful to approach others how you would want to be approached. You know, meekness, I've said it before and I've heard it from somewhere. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." The omnipotent, almighty God was made a little lower than the angels, in human form, brought into this world in a stable, not in a palace. He was born into the lineage of the kings of Israel, of the house of David, but not when Solomon was reigning on his throne. Not when Israel was united, not when they were divided between northern and southern kingdoms, but when they were under the occupation of the conquering Romans. When his stepfather, Joseph, the rightful heir to the throne of David, was forced to use the trade of carpentry to make a living. Rather than sit on a throne, he was busy making chairs for others. Talk about strength under control. How about Jesus? Talk about strength under control. He said, "I am he," to the men that came to him in the Garden of Gethsemane with their staves. He said, when they asked him if he were who they were looking for, if he were Jesus, and he said these words, "I am he." And in John 18:6, because of the power that was held when the great I am said his own name out loud, those men fell down backwards. Wish I had some of the young men up here for my illustrations. Jesus Christ, when they asked him, he said, "I am he," and it knocked him down. Talk about strength under control. He could have done, "Yeah, I am he, breathe thou no more." "Yes, I am he, be thou leprous." He could have done that. Matthew 26:53, he said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He could have come down off the cross if he had wanted to with his power. A legion has a minimum of 5,000 soldiers in it. So 12 legions of angels would have been a minimum of 60,000 angels. Now we know what one angel can do in one of the plagues of Israel all by himself. Just think what 60,000 angels can do. 60,000 angels wouldn't have just taken Jesus off the cross. 60,000 of angels could have wiped out all mankind. Jesus Christ was meek in that his power was under control. Jesus Christ had the power to come off the cross. He had the power to kill those who nailed him to the cross. What did he do instead? He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He could have judged them right there and then, but he came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In order to do that, he had to be meek. Meekness is checking your power, your ability to judge. When you're in a position of superiority over someone, your ability to wound, hurt, or crush someone else because of their weakness, and instead using that power you have to heal, to forgive, and to help them. Meekness is not hurting people when they're down, it's healing them. You could crush them further. You could. Are you with me? Using that power to advance them rather than yourselves. Meekness is using your power for others, not for you. It's choosing to help them with the understanding you would desire others to show to you if you were the one who had fallen or were weak or in need of help in their position. Meekness is, instead of being like the chickens when there's blood attacking the chicken that's bleeding and peck it to death, it's taking some balm of Gilead over there and rubbing it on the wound and helping them back up. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Meekness is when you are not guilty and they are, and you could very well pummel them with their guilt and just kill them and wipe them off the map, so to speak. Instead, say, "No, what if that was me? How about you get back up and keep going? Because the day is going to come when I may fall, and I need you strong to pick me up." Is that right? You know, one thing about Moses, I think one reason, and I'm coming to a close here, plain circling the field. I think it's a little warm in here tonight. It's the perfect, comfy, relaxing weather. One thing about Moses, I think one thing that will help us stay meek, first of all, is walking in the Spirit. That's part of the fruit of it. But part of what helps me and my mindset as well to try to answer meekly and be meek. You know, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to fulfill this, but this is just a good mental thing, is just remember who you really are. You are a sinner saved by grace. You know, one thing that Moses, I think he could always look back and say, you know what? I've killed a man. You know, took justice into my own hands. He ran for fear for 40 years. He was in the backside of the wilderness with no contact from his family. And then Aaron sets off one time to find him. I think Moses just kind of realized his own insignificance. And in realizing his own insignificance, although he was given great power, he didn't misuse it because he realized as an insignificant person, he was dealing with other people who also struggled with insignificance. And the power didn't make him better than them. Don't get to a place where you feel like you're better spiritually than them. Because you have to lay aside that sin and the weights which easily beset us. Amen? Everybody's got to keep cleaning themselves because you continually get dirty. Not just physically, but also spiritually. So be careful casting that stone. And instead respond meekly and use the power God's given you and the position, if you're in a position of righteousness, use it to heal and to help. One of the benefits that we get when we walk in the Spirit of God, with the Holy Spirit of God, is that He helps us to be healers and helpers. Who are you helping today? Who are you helping today? Amen.